Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 55 of Absolutely Intercultural. In our show today, we will look at international teamwork and how to prepare yourself and your whole company for this challenge. Working in an international environment will produce a number of intercultural situations which we think you can prepare for. Just imagine if you had to work with an internationally mixed group for several days or even weeks, not only sharing working time, but also the meals and evening activities in an international setting. Our interviewees made this experience and tell us about the huge benefits they got out of it, but also about the challenges which had to be addressed. Personal and cultural differences can make it very difficult to have fruitful discussions and make good decisions.
So there is the personal differences in personality and also the difference in working styles and decision making and so on. So we had big discussions. How should we go on? What should we do?
Some companies think that it is adequate to give intercultural training only to the chosen few, those who actually travel abroad. Keith, however, tells us how important it is to provide cultural training for the whole company.
And an organisation is only as strong as its weakest links. So everybody needs to be aware of these issues, not just the chosen few.
We hear from intercultural trainers that they prefer to work with internationally mixed groups, as those groups often create situations that can be more interesting for intercultural studies than the best prefabricated case studies.
Well, if I have a multicultural group, I never work with case studies because I think the situation as such is the greatest case study. So I have them work with their own examples, with their own experience.
But let us start with our show now. In our first category, Absolutely Unteachable, we talk with Nicole, employee of an adult education center in Austria, and Thomas, a project manager from Slovakia, who both had several opportunities to experience intercultural challenges during their international teamwork projects. Working in a culturally mixed group has great benefits, but can also be very challenging. In an international teamwork situation where you stay together for several weeks, all day, the smallest differences in the way you work or even the organization of the evening activities can develop into a problem and severely disturb the group spirit. The understandable need to be alone and to relax in the evenings or just to have a slightly longer lunch break sometimes cannot be solved without offending somebody else or making compromises. We hear that people can develop sensitivity for such cultural differences. But can culture really be taught so that we are fully prepared for these challenges? Or is experience the best intercultural teacher? Nicole and Thomas share their experiences with Carsten, who made this interview for us some time ago.
Best was, of course, to meet people and from different countries, and we really had the chance to broaden our horizon and also to develop our competences. I think I became much more sensitive on different things and probably also got more tolerant. And what was very interesting for me is also that even if you think that you are open and you've got competences and you're all tolerant, that in these projects you find out that maybe you're not as tolerant as you think and that there are so many things that are new.
I mean, this tolerance, when you think that you actually are aware of things, that you think that you are completely tolerant, and you simply slowly keep on finding out things which you have never experienced before because, as Nico said, you meet different people, which is a huge benefit of international projects. But you also come across things which may not come as a matter of course to you, which you are not used to, and you have to cope with it somehow. So yes, this kind of level of tolerance or the skill to adapt or to accept, it helps a lot.
Were there any specific situations where your tolerance has been tested? For example, in decision-making conflicts?
Oh, yes. Well, we had huge project meetings and we had an international project with many partners. And, of course, we all have different ways of working. So there is the personal differences in personality and also the difference in working styles and decision-making and so on. So we had big discussions. How should we go on? What should we do? And that was sometimes really difficult to find or to make a decision and also to solve a problem. But at the end, we always succeeded. And I think out of these situations, we learned the most.
And I will not be as serious as Nicole. my level of tolerance was tested a couple of times. In Hungary, where I was actually part of sightseeing tours, and I discovered this Hungarian tradition to treat you to extremely long and extensive guided tours and to present you the history with all the details and all the queens and kings. And after 4 hours of our guided tour in Budapest, in 30 degrees Celsius, getting in air-conditioned bus, getting out of the bus 10-15 times, yes, I was completely exhausted and tired, but I still felt like I didn't want to offend anyone by letting them know that I can't listen anymore about kings and queens, I don't remember anything, and I would just like to sit down and have a beer. So I put my sunglasses on the bus and simply fell asleep. Because I was almost dead.
The social life was also, there were big differences. There were parts, like the Germans, they really want to go on and work and have a tight schedule. And not only the Germans, like half of the group had these tight schedules, and the others wanted also like 2 or 3 hours longer lunch break. The others wanted to have shorter lunch break but a longer evening, go out and so on. So also there were like many things that we all needed tolerance, because some stayed up until 4 o'clock and were tired in the morning. Others were fitter in the morning and tired in the afternoon.
And you have to also consider the pressure you are exposed to at project meetings. You stay with the same group of people from the breakfast till dinner, through the working sessions, of course. Then after dinner, you go for drinks. After 2 or 3 days like this, being slightly claustrophobic, it's a test of tolerance, of patience. Then the only space you have for yourself is when you close your hotel room, and then it's like midnight maybe, and you go to bed, go into a shower, and you're on your own. I mean, basically this basic need of everybody to be on your own is kind of disturbed when you are at extensive project meetings, because everybody expects you to be part of the group and socialize. Mm. So my attitude was to also test my project partners, how tolerant they are to me if I say, I'm going to go and have a walk on my own. Do you mind? And they said, no, but some of them did. I could see that. And I didn't mean any offense to anyone, but I just felt I need to relax. I can't talk anymore. I can't listen to anybody anymore. And I think it's natural, but you are exposed to this pressure at some meetings, and you get sort of tired. And it's also a good test of your level of tolerance.
Nicole, this project has been going on for, 2 years now?
Yeah, a little longer, almost 3 years, yeah.
Okay, and I think the group has become a really, really close group, and there are many friendships. Do you would say that the group itself has developed its own culture somehow?
Good question, but I would say yes, because of course you get to know each other, you learn from each other, you adapt things, and you accept things. So the project meetings were more successful the longer the project ran. And meanwhile, it's like we know what we think of each other. We learned how to respect each other much more. And I think this is something very typical for long projects, that you really develop your own culture and your own rules.
The name of the project was Teaching Culture. So my last question is, do you think that culture can be taught?
I would be interested in your answer first, Thomas.
Culture can be taught. I would say the best way how to teach culture is experience. If you want to teach someone, I mean, what do you mean by teaching? If you mean telling someone about culture, I don't think that can work. To an extent, maybe, but to experience something. For instance, if you want to teach young people intercultural skills, put them in a group of international students, and that's the best way how to teach. That's my personal view. Experience is the best school. It's much better than any reading, any scripts, any books in the world, so you just leave it.
I don't agree 100%. I agree that it's the best way to learn intercultural experience or to get intercultural contacts and competences is to be in an intercultural group. But I think you can help in classes or whatever to improve the awareness of the differences and the similarities. We often think in differences, but there are many things that really have similarities. And if you are aware of your own culture, your own values, beliefs, and so on, I think it's easier then to survive, under quotation marks, in an intercultural group, because it doesn't help you if you know the do's and don'ts of a culture, because what happens if I know what you're allowed to do in France, but then you come to a totally different country and you have no idea. So I think you can sharpen the awareness and teach this way to make people think. But the best way is always to be in an intercultural group.
Yeah, but what would you teach them? Like, what can you do in France? What can't you do in France? Then you come to another country.
Yeah.
And you never know to which country you can go. So there are so many countries in the world. Mm-hmm. You can't teach one person habits of every single country.
No, you can't, no.
So I think if you want to teach people something, that's the only thing. Be sensible. Listen and watch and think before you do something.
Therefore, most of my workshops have to do with values and beliefs, because that's the only thing. If you're really aware what you believe and what is your value, then you are much more aware of somebody else's values and respect them much more. And I think many projects or also international classes are too much in the brains. You do facts and figures, but you don't use your hearts and your feelings. And that's the most difficult thing in intercultural topics, that you hurt each other in a certain way because you attack your own values. And therefore you have to sharpen the awareness, and then it makes it easier to survive in intercultural experiences.
Nicole and Thomas stress the fact that learning facts and figures and even the habits of a nation does not really prepare you for intercultural challenges. However, they also agree that increasing the general awareness for cultural differences is possible and even essential. But the best way to train intercultural competences is to experience living and working in an international environment. In our next category, absolutely essential, Keith, who is an expert on cultural training and can look back on a very international career, tells us which mistakes were made in the past and why intercultural training seminars are essential for companies which want to implement new processes or even introduce new staff in foreign countries. But how can you convince a complete company to participate in these seminars? Let us listen to the expert.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say I was an expert. I know a little bit about it, which has come through a lifetime of working internationally. So I worked outside the UK for about 18 and a half years in a number of European countries in the Middle East and the Far East. And what led me to look at this field was that I found for many years that processes and policies which my American parent company had developed, which worked very well in the States, maybe in the UK, when we tried to implement them in a foreign country outside the States or the UK, they really didn't fit very well, and we got lots of resistance from local people and local clients. But trying to get my parent company in the States to accept that this was a cultural issue was extremely difficult.
How did you notice that there was this resistance?
Well, basically because people used to look at me as if I was completely mad when I was explaining to them what we thought they needed to do, and would say, well, that would just have completely the opposite impact that you're saying it would have in this country. And the problem, and this is one of the problems of working for a big international company, that whenever my parent company asked me to implement a process or a policy, for example, in Japan, and if I said, well, I don't think that will work in Japan, the answer from senior management was always, well, if you can't make it work, Keith, then we'll find somebody else who can. And they looked at blaming the individual rather than blaming the system or the environment in which you were working. And I think that means that because of that, it's no good just that the man in Japan understands there's a problem there. It's a whole organisational issue. And that everybody within an organisation that works internationally has to be alive to the impact that cultural differences can have.
Now, you said earlier that you find it important that we don't only train individuals in a company, but that this is something which is relevant, in fact, to all staff. Can you explain that a little?
When I first started working, the company I worked for, based in Manchester in the UK, we had something called the International Department. And whenever anybody phoned that company with a foreign accent, the reception immediately put them through to Charlie in the International Department, who apparently seemed to know how to deal with foreigners. Now, times have changed, and people at all levels in an organisation, from the most senior management to the most junior support staff, very often will be dealing with colleagues, clients or stakeholders from another culture. And an organisation is only as strong as its weakest link. And so everybody needs to be aware of these issues, not just the chosen few.
How can you manage to penetrate the whole company with these ideas? Because often it's difficult to offer a training which is for senior staff and junior staff at the same time.
It's often difficult from a structural point of view to offer that type of training, but it's also very often difficult to get organisations to commit to the budget to train everybody. And that's one of the reasons why we've developed a blended approach to this, which is an e-learning programme followed by live training. So it may be that you can't afford, an organisation cannot afford to put everybody through the live training, but you can probably afford to put everybody through an e-learning program, and then you can select more carefully those members of staff who you feel have the most international contacts, and you can put them through a live training program as well.
Maybe Keith is right, and the approach of blended learning, which combines a phase of distance learning with face-to-face intercultural training in seminar rooms, is the best way forward. In any case, the times that companies were able to concentrate only on their own culture and ignore the influences of foreign cultures seem to be over. So how do trainers increase our intercultural awareness? In our last category, absolutely explorative, we talked to some intercultural trainers and asked them what the perfect intercultural training seminar would look like.
Well, for me, it's very important to get into a dialogue with the participants of the training. That's maybe the most important, and also to stick to the goals and the aims of the participants and customers I have.
Are the groups that you're teaching mostly from one nationality, or do you get mixed nationality groups?
Both, monocultural and multicultural groups.
Yeah, and I mean, you were talking about dialogue, and I think that's the great fun part of it, that you get... I love working with multicultural groups, because that's when you get the two cultures interact, and it's not me telling them about cultural differences. It's more they discover the cultural differences, and I love just facilitating that process.
So it's explorative learning.
Yeah.
Do you work with case studies, or how do you make them explore?
Well, if I have a multicultural group, I never work with case studies, because I think the situation as such is the greatest case study. So I have them work with their own examples, with their own experience. If I have a monocultural group, then, of course, I have to draw from cases, and then I use case studies. I prefer working with a multicultural group and have them discover differences themselves and have them work out strategies to deal with that.
So what is the situation most of the time? Do you teach people in their own environment, or do you take them out somewhere into the mountains and teach them where they don't have to worry about these little daily things, or how do you work?
I mean, as a trainer, I of course prefer off-site trainings. However, I mean, of course, we all know that there are financial restrictions. So I also go into the companies, but I would say half-half. I take them out, especially if it's more an intercultural team building or team development conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. Then I prefer not to be on site.
Do you have any favorite activities, something that you've tried out several times? And you would say, well, this almost always works with whatever group you're using it with?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about different communication style, and one difference is, for example, is distance. How comfortable do you feel in terms of physical distance to someone?
And maybe I'm far too close to you now because of the microphone, am I not?
Maybe you are. But one exercise I just use as a warm-up after, you know, some heavy intellectual thinking is that imagine I was your boss, and I'm a woman, obviously, and imagine... You are also a woman. What would feel a comfortable distance talking to me? And then I approach that person. At some point, he says, stop. And I have then somebody from another culture, hopefully, who's in that group, an American or an Arab. And that distance is extremely different, of course. Somebody says stop after 1.5 meters. With others, it's 30 centimeters. With others, it's very different whether I'm a woman or a man. And then just physically, you can... line people up and say, you know, this is how different we feel comfortable and how different our comfort zone is. I mean, just see what does it tell you?
And I had a lovely story. I'm not sure whether it's true, but apparently in the Mexican embassy in the United States, an unusual number of people at parties have landed in the swimming pool. And one explanation is actually that the Americans would move backwards all the time when these Mexicans come closer.
Yeah.
And in the end, they trip over and fall into
all these kind of games of people chasing around. I mean, that's one exercise. Another one is, I call it a party. I mean, you have groups from different countries, meaning they are from fictional countries, and they get a set of instructions. For example, in my culture, you have to be 2 meters away, you cannot look somebody to the eye, and of course the other people get reversed instructions. You have to be very close, you have to look them in the eye, and then you give them the simple task of do some small talk, find out where they are from, what they are doing. And it gets extremely difficult. And then I work with that situation. How did it make you feel?
Well, I have a favorite exercise, which is very good at the beginning of training in order to make people aware of intercultural differences. It's just simply called the sociogram. I ask the whole group to place themselves in the room according to the place where they grew up. And then I do some kind of short interviews with all these people so that they can characterize themselves or the people of the group where they grew up, the place where they grew up. And then they can also think about, I asked, for example, and what do you think about the southerners in your country? Or, and if it's a multicultural group, it's even more interesting, so they can deal with stereotypes then, or think about stereotypes and discuss a little bit about these differences and similarities they see according to the groups and to each other.
Thanks for these insights into very different types of intercultural seminars. It seems that none of the trainers try to teach in the classical sense of standing at the front and telling their students how to do things. Maybe we could say that intercultural communication cannot be taught, but maybe it can be learned. In this sense, the trainers would just be facilitators for the students' learning process. In our interviews with trainers, we heard that it seems to be important for each of them to develop an awareness of intercultural differences. They also stress that you need to experience intercultural teamwork, either in a simulation or, as Nicole and Thomas did, in international projects. In my own teaching at the university, I always try to connect the teaching of intercultural concepts and the theory with some kind of international experience, be it through the internet, with students abroad, or in real excursions with my students, hoping that they will be able to put the taught theory into practice and benefit for their future intercultural encounters. Now, I'm afraid we are coming to the end of our show. If you want to continue the discussion about how culture can be taught or learned, or if you want to share your experiences of cultural seminars, please feel free to visit our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and leave a comment. We would really like to hear about your opinions on these matters. Or maybe you have suggestions as to which intercultural topics Anne and I could bring up in one of our next shows. Don't be shy. Tell us. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 30th of May. So long. Stay tuned. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural. Absolutely intercultural.